Psalm 73. It is the first psalm of Asaph. Not quite a household name. Asaph was fortunate to serve the two great kings of Israel, David and Solomon. Asaph is an artist. He is a singer. He is a musician. As such, the words he chooses are more poetic. I myself am not a poet by any means. I'm more of a straight talk kind of guy. But this does reach certain people. And it's the variety of life and the uniqueness to which God gives each and every one of us. For some people, they will enjoy the way he speaks. If you are not one of those, I recommend open up Proverbs 11. It's the same thing, but just spoken to someone a little bit more stoic and intellectual. Verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves in violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten, then oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up the waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you have placed them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and arrogant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far away from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. This ends the reading.
I had originally asked Steve to sing it. He obviously declined. Kids, come on down. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Keep coming. Good. There we go. Good morning. Well, we're going to be using a psalm this morning for the big people. And there's something I wanted you to learn at the end of the psalm, so that when I get to that part, you'll understand it, okay? And it's talking about being close to God and how God holds on to us, all right? How many of you have learned how to walk? Good, me too. Did you do this like my new grandson? Right now, I take one hand in one finger and he grabs the other hand in the other finger and we walk around the house like this. You ever see big people doing that? Or have you ever done that with somebody else's? You walk around the house and he's really happy as long as he's holding on to your, because then he won't. Right, so that's really kind of cool. And that's the way a lot of people learned how to walk. And as long as I stay close to him, he's not scared at all. How many of you have learned how to ride a two-wheel bicycle all by yourself? Now, how many of you had training wheels for a while? Good. How many, after they took the training wheels off, had mom or dad hang on to the seat for a while you practiced? And you hung on, and they hung on, and they hung on, and as long as they were hanging on to the seat, you probably weren't very, it was when they let go, yes. So as long as they stayed close, you didn't get scared, and when they let go, eventually, though, you learned how to ride, right? How many of you learned how to ice skate all by yourself? You ever go ice skating all by yourself? Well, when I learned how to ice skate, guess what? My dad took my hands like this, and I started skating around like that, the same way I learned to walk. Then he took my other hand, or mom took my, what they each took a hand, some hands sitting there, and we skated around on what we used to call sled skates. They had two blades on them, and, well, it doesn't matter. You're all looking at me, I know. When we're learning to do certain things, it's sometimes extra special to have people very close to us, right? Because when they're close to us, we're not afraid to start walking, or we're not afraid to start riding our bicycles because they're close to us. Well, in the sermon today, the writer of the psalm, he's singing this song and he's saying, I am going to stay close to or near to God. And I want God always to stay close to me, because then I'll never be afraid. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what the sermon's about how important it is to understand when I'm close to God and He's close to, I never have to be afraid of anything. All right? And so that's what I'm going to try and teach the big people in a few more words than that. But I want you to see if you can listen for it, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about, staying close to God, so no matter what we're doing, we never have to be. Got a treat for you today. You ready? I think I got to open them up again. Do this every time. Here we go. Come on up. There you go. Grab one. Grab one. There you go. I got plenty, so take your time. Whoop. Let me shake them out. Shake them out. And there's one in that wrapper. Someone grab that one. Good. I hear some parents going, oh, those are my favorite. There we go. There you go. Help yourselves. Good. Good. You're welcome. There you go, honey. You're welcome. If you come down, you can have one. I just... I was fascinated by this psalm because of the message at the end. It's kind of like the bottom line. It's kind of like the bottom line of the song. I thought about it, you know, here's this song, you know, I'm going, surely God is good to Israel. And I'm trying to figure out how you're going to sing this, right? And I know in Hebrew, it sounds a little bit different than in English because they're translating it. And so it doesn't exactly rhyme like we normally think of music, but You know, I nearly lost my foothold because I envied the arrogant and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, I don't know. Do you operize it, or how do you get through these? But I did relate to the feeling. In other words, that's what I want you to think about. I don't want you necessarily to relate to that single feeling that he's identifying here, which is just envying the wicked, wanting what other people seem to have. He's longing for what he doesn't have. In other words, he's got this struggle that he's going through, and he says, you know, I nearly lost my foothold. I nearly lost what God had given me. I was on the rock, but I nearly slid off because I was wanting what other people seemed to have, and I became jealous. I became covetous. I want what they want. And it was creeping into his life, and he was discovering this. He goes, and I envied them, and I saw their prosperity. And then he made these observations, right? If you're rich, you don't have any struggles. Right? Please understand, you're rich, all of you. I know you think that you have to go look at somebody else, right? The 99% or the 1% or what, you know, the game we're playing in politics. You're the rich compared to the whole rest of the world. And the whole rest of the world can look at you and say, you never have any struggles. And we look at them going, oh, yes, we do. Our marriages struggle, our relationships struggle, our kids struggle. We don't always do our well in school and our jobs, and some of us this and some of us that. But this happens to us. I felt this was a real attitude. We all can relate to it. They got no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to everybody else. Right? Money can't buy you happiness, but it isn't too bad to have, is it? And it feels happy when you're looking to get some stuff. And so when you get that stuff and you can't get that stuff, you can't always be as happy. And so I wanted us to grab hold of that feeling. In other words, I want us to feel that little moment of envy, that little sense of, and I'm not sure what it is for you. Sometimes it's their family seems to get along so well. Sometimes it's his job is secure and mine's not. Sometimes he's got such a wonderful wife, or she's got such a great husband, or how come they've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend and I don't? And how come she does so well at school and I don't? And you know, there's just a lot of jealousies and a lot of things that can kind of stir up in all of us. In other words, it's this envious spirit that can kind of creep into us for just about everything and anything, from a different kind of car to the size of our house to who you're married to or not married to. And people look at you from the outside, and the old phrase, you got to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, you know, they don't understand that not everything in any of our lives is necessarily flawless. But from the outside looking in, he certainly feels that way. Then he gets more upset because not only do they wear their pride like a necklace, they're not only possessing all this stuff, they seem to have a spiritual arrogance about them. All right? In other words, there's jealousy and covetousness that we can sneak in there, but it attacks us spiritually by this attitude of looking at the arrogance that the sinners have, looking at the way they talk to you, looking at the way they talk down to you, you lowly Christian you pure person you individual who practices purity, they look down on that, and you can find yourself in class being made fun of, you know. What do you mean you don't drink? Everybody drinks. You go, well, I don't. Or you walk into a different situation, and what do you mean you're faithful to your wife? You mean you're not going to play around on her? What's wrong with you? And you can get into these strange situations where you're not only dealing with a covetousness in one sense, you're dealing now with a spiritual strangeness and uneasiness that you get because you go, God, look at the way he talks about his wife, and look how much money he has, and look at the way they live, and look at all the people that seem to like them. And I'm being faithful, and I'm being good, and I'm being a good husband, a good father, good mother, good wife. And God, it just doesn't seem like everything is working out the way it should be working out. it should be somehow this evidence that they're suffering more. They don't have as much money. People don't pay as much attention to them. And he's going through this, and he comes down and says, their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff. They speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. They seem to run everything. They seem to be in charge. They seem to be ruling. They seem to be controlling. They seem to be winning. It's like watching sometimes an awards program or a group of movie stars, and you're looking at all their different lifestyles, and this person's on their fourth marriage or their seventh boyfriend, or this person is this and that, and you kind of look at them and you go, wow, they're still rich, she's still beautiful, he's still handsome, and you got this strange battle that begins to wage inside of you, and it's a mixture of jealousy, it's a mixture of, I don't want to be them, but why don't they suffer more for being the way they are? I'm innocent of many of those things, and by comparison, Lord, I feel sometimes I'm suffering more than, so this is the process I wanted you to be aware of. Verse 12, this is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in their wealth. Then he goes in verse 13, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. You ever have doubts? Maybe I shouldn't be faithful. Maybe I shouldn't be good to my parents and obey them. You ever had this kid writes to me in one of the letters at school, you know, I hit a point last year in my life, she's a junior now, sophomore last year, where I didn't want to be a good girl anymore. And I wanted to do something bad. And she said, I made some really bad decisions. And I'm really thankful now because God's gotten me back on track. But you all maybe understand that flavor of what she went through, this sense of, I don't know if this being pure and sincere and real and good is everything it's cracked up to be. Well, he's struggling with it. I've kept my heart pure, and in vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued, and I have been punished every morning. Feels like I suffer, like my life is not as good as his or hers. And you do these comparisons. And you can say, I don't, but we all do in varying degrees. You all have this kind of, she seems really happy, and their life is like this, and, you know, she's on her fourth husband, and he's this, and all those kind of things we can race through. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. I think that's where I want to start getting you to focus with me now. It was oppressive. How do I figure it out, Lord? Why is it you're so merciful to people who can be so wicked? Why is it that sometimes it feels, and I got to say that, it feels like I'm suffering and other people aren't? Why is it I question being pure and innocent and sincere and walking in my faith and being faithful in my marriage and faithful to my mom and dad and trustworthy and obedient? You know, why is that thing bubble up inside of me? And then to try and solve it, he said, it was oppressive. It's like this huge weight. It was just like my head was going, I can't figure this out. It just weighs him down. And then the next line, until, I'm now on verse 17, so stay with me. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Until I understood and entered the sanctuary of God. Until I drew close to God. Until I understood what God was trying to reveal to me. Until I recognized jealousy for what it was. Until I recognized covetousness for what it was. Until I realized that God has been unbelievably good to me, just letting me exist another day. Until I realized that God loves sinners just as much as he loves me. Until, and all of these words, all of these truths have to come washing into my life, because otherwise I get filled with the pettiness and the jealousy and that kind of covetousness of, I want my life to be so different. But when I draw near to God, there is this drawing near to the wisdom and the revelation and the truth. And I begin to see God saying, I am going to bless. I have been blessing you. Your faithfulness will be blessed multiple times. You are a testimony to the world around you. This is what I've called you to be. And sometimes you can't always see the fruit of it. Sometimes you can't always see the benefit it's going to produce. Sometimes all you're looking at is how big a paycheck one person has compared to you. Sometimes you're just examining how old your car is compared to theirs. Sometimes you're staring at all the wrong things. And until I entered the sanctuary of God, until I came close to God, I had lost sight. I didn't get it. And so he goes on from there and he says, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you've placed them on slippery ground. You've cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they're destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So when you arise, O Lord, you despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. He says, Lord, it doesn't matter how rich a person is, because one day they got to stand before you and they're going to be held accountable for the circumstances and the life and the opportunities they were given. And he says, you love them. And yet they stand on that slippery ground of their own ignorance. They stand on the slippery ground of arrogance. They stand on the slippery ground of pride. They stand out, and while you're calling out those sins, God whispers to you, and what about you, Bruce? What do you mean? You ever get in the slippery ground of pride? Oh. Did you think you were better than them? Did you think you were more deserving than them? Well, do you think that their ground is any less slippery than your ground is? Do you understand pride in you and pride in them? Both is slippery ground that takes you away from the things of God. Do you understand that covetousness in them and covetousness in you is just as deadly? Do you understand arrogance in them and arrogance in you is just as destructive? Do you understand what I'm trying to reveal to you? And he said, as I got close to God and these things began to be clear, I began to look at people with different eyes. I began to look at stuff differently. I began to understand that the things that I thought were so critical and so important suddenly diminish in value. And everything I thought mattered that was so important to compare and value suddenly doesn't have much value to it. You go through that process when your dad is sick and there's some uncertainties of how he's doing. You go through that process when you're sick and there's some uncertainties of how you're doing. And you begin to weigh and value what really matters versus what doesn't matter. And God is working on this man's heart because this man has gotten close to him again. He said, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. You know what he's acknowledging? Those people over there, they're a bunch of brute beasts. And so am I, Lord. And so am I. You can be a Christian and a brute beast. You can be caught in your own ignorance and your own stupidity and your own arrogance and pride, and you can be a brute beast caught up in the exact same type of sin that they're caught in. And you're trying to justify and rationalize and excuse rather than live in the mercy and the grace of God, rather than live close to God, you develop the same kind of mindset or set of eyes they do, and you're walking in the same path, only you just don't realize you're walking in that lane and they're walking in that one. And you really are brothers and sisters walking down the same arrogant path. And finally he gets this part. Yet I am always with you. Here we go, kids. Listen to this part. You hold me by my right hand. Remember when I was trying to teach you about God holding on to us? This man is looking and he's saying to God, God, you hang on to me with your right hand. Right hand meaning your strong arm is holding on to me. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. hears him coming to the realization, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is a man coming to his senses. This is the prodigal son returning home. This is a man who lives in real live emotion like you and I do, where jealousy creeps in and how come he's got it so much better than I do, and his family looks better, and his wife, her husband, all the things that we can rattle around in our heads. And finally, God gets to us and he goes, stop, look into my eyes and understand something. And here's this man finally going, I have nothing in heaven but you, and nothing on earth matters but you. And he continues on. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He acknowledges this truth in 27. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. I like this song. I don't know how to put it to words. I'll have Steve sing it to you next Sunday. And Mark will play it. Good luck. But what a message. I wandered around filled with jealousy and pettiness and selfishness and pride, but I couldn't see it because I disguised it as a Christian. And I judged people around me in the world as, look how wicked and stupid and evil and shallow they all are. Until one day, Lord, your Spirit came and opened my eyes and he said, look how wicked and shallow and evil you are. And then I acknowledged I have nothing in heaven and nothing on earth but you, Jesus. And I changed, my heart changed, my attitude changed, and I recognized that you are seeking to save the lost, that you are longing to bring the world to you, and that I am going to stay close to you and I'm going to shout your deeds out. God is able to keep me from pride and arrogance. God is able to keep me from being judgmental. God is able to straighten my head out when it walks in places it shouldn't. God is able to make me understand why it's good to be a faithful man, why it's good to be a good father. God is able to hold on to me when I can't see clearly anything else. I will tell you there's nothing more important than my relationship with God. Nothing more important than my walking with the Lord and having him close to me, because it keeps my job in perspective. I don't rise or fall whether I have a job. I am a man unto myself in Christ, close to God. Whether the job stays or leaves, I still am a man unto God. Whether things are going good or not so good, I don't judge myself simply because this situation has changed or that situation has changed. Instead, I stay close to God and I hear him whispering, don't be filled with pride, don't be filled with arrogance, walk with me, let me fill you up even in this time of emptiness and pain and sorrow. And so my testimony is, God who is faithful will keep your feet strong so you don't slip off the rock. So when those questions and those attacks come from your friends, from television, from your own, you know, wickedness of your own flesh, you're going to have inside of you that Spirit of God going, don't listen to that. You are a faithful husband. I know she doesn't realize that right now. I know he doesn't appreciate you right now. But you're doing it for me. I'm asking you to live this way for him. I'm asking you to honor her. I'm asking you to obey your mom and your dad, even though they're going through a tough time in their lives right now. I'm asking you to be a faithful son or daughter. I'm asking you to remain sexually pure. I'm asking you to be my child because I will bless you and I will fill your mind and your heart with understanding and I will draw you until finally it is good for me to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge and I will tell of his deeds. Pray with me. The Lord's calling to your heart right now. calling sinners. He's calling you from the circumstances of your life. And he's speaking gently and lovingly to your heart. I love you, child. Before you were ever conceived, I longed to know you and have you know me intimately. I desire to fill your life with understanding and wisdom. I desire to have you see the world and people, circumstances, good or evil, through my eyes. I desire to reveal things you can't understand until I show them to you. I desire to pour myself into your life. I desire to whisper forgiveness to you. I desire to reveal all things so that every bit of your life is worthwhile living. You're my treasure. You are the reason I came to the earth. You are the reason my son has died for your sins. You are the reason that I still send my spirit to speak to your heart right now. You are my bride. You are my treasure. I long for you. And as I drew near to God, God's words became clear, and I understood. Today I'm going to invite you. If you don't belong to the Lord, just ask the Lord to please draw you close to Him. If you don't feel saved, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I need you to take away my sins. If you don't feel close, ask Him to come and reveal His heart to you. Speak to you about the circumstances of your life. And if you need to just speak a need out to Him right now, please do that in your heart. God longs to bless your life, to strengthen you in every way. God's desire is that all men be saved. Come and receive what God has for you today. Pray this in His name.